in a perfect world. There ain't no perfect world anyway. Ain't no living in a perfect world. But we'll keep on dreaming of living in a perfect world.
If there is some collateral damage for some others who do not share our view, well, so be it.
The Democrat Party has become too extreme to be trusted with power. Their radical policies are a danger to your family and to your country.
Hello and welcome into this first edition of The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, handling hosting duties. And thank you very much for listening today. And you may be wondering, okay, so what the heck's going on here? What happened to the Mark and Mac show? Well, nothing much, really. I've actually been doing this particular show with a different name for a while now, so I decided, you know, maybe it's time to just kind of shift things around. For the past couple of years, Dave Mack and I brought you the Mark and Mac show on local radio and as a podcast. And Dave was also doing his own daily program. And along the way, we discussed the possibility of me taking on a show of my own as well. In the bigger picture of our syndication plans, that made perfect sense. You know, adding a solo effort for me to complement his solo effort. And because of the way things were working for us, with Dave running the show from the radio station studio, and me, by the way, this is something we really never talked about, except for maybe one time, I was digitally connecting from my own studio, this studio. And the way technology is now, it worked very well for us. Well, because of that, and I was doing that because of how far away I actually am from the radio station studios. It would take me an hour and a half each way to drive every day. Well, plus I had requirements of my regular job. It was just tough for me to carve out the time for producing a daily show at the time, so it just never happened. Until now. My job situation along the way did change. That freed me up to focus completely on the radio show itself. And when we parted ways with our last station, I decided after a few weeks to just get back in the studio and produce a daily web version of the show while we were searching for another local radio station to serve as home for the show and a launching place for further syndication. Dave was busy, I had the time, and so the web edition of the Mark and Mac show happened. As far as the syndication goes, we actually have had stations interested in taking the station, taking the show. There was a Fort Payne, there was a station in Huntsville, there were others that were interested as well, but that required us having a home base and the ability to syndicate the show. Beyond that, it also required that home base for financial reasons, because we needed to be able to produce a show that was commercially viable with commercial income in order for us to be able to pay mortgage payments and those things like that along the way, so we could continue producing the show until syndication sales crossed a line where it made it viable for us just to move into our own studio and just do syndication. And that was the long-term plan. And after handling things solo for a while here, doing the Mark and Mac show on my own, the web edition of the show, I decided just to move on to producing my own show rather than a solo version of a two-man show. And after all, that's what I was actually doing anyway, so why not just go ahead and rebrand what I was doing and keep producing the show each day as my own? Well, sir, for several years, I had a blog where I published my observations about the various aspects of life. I call that blog Pardon Me While I Think. And it was on my own website, markcongleton.com. Which is there, by the way. You can go look at it if you'd like to, if you want to. What you'll find there is this show's website now. So when I was thinking over possibilities for a name for a podcast, I decided I would take the name that I gave the Facebook version of that blog, because when Facebook came along, I started publishing those blog posts to a Facebook page I created called The Daily Perspective. So when I was looking for a name for the podcast, it just made sense to use The Daily Perspective as the name for the podcast, because it's the essence of what I've been doing every day on the web show for the Mark and Mac Show. It's my daily perspective on things. It's almost like Dave's out of town, or Dave's out with the flu, or Dave broke a leg or something like that, and I'm having to do the show on my own, so it ends up becoming just me. And since it's just me, why not just be me? Well, I've even referred to what I've been doing on the daily as my daily perspective on life, the universe, and everything. Except for the number 42. There are a few people that will get that. So, as they say, here we are. This program is going to be the same program I've been doing already, except for the name and a few little tweaks, like you heard the opening music. And there will be a few little changes as well, but not much. So you can rest assured, nothing really important about what we've been doing here is going to change, only essentially the wrapping paper. That's pretty much it. So from here forward, until we establish another home base for the show, and we can actually, the two of us together, start producing the show, bouncing off each other, laughing at each other, having fun with each other, until we can do that again, this is what I'm going to do. It doesn't mean that the Mark and Mac Show is going away. It's not going to go away. The website will stay there. The Facebook page will stay there. The Twitter feed will stay there. In fact, if you've been noticing the last couple of days, when I post something, I'm posting it everywhere at the same time. So it's going to the Mark and Mac Show version of things, and it's going to the Daily Perspective version of things. And some of those things have had the Daily Perspective logo on them, because the best way for me to get things into all the worlds was just to copy and paste, and the logo was there. But so things are just not, it's all going to stay the same way. In fact, you're listening to this on the Mark and Mac Show web feed or podcast feed, one of the two. So it's all staying the same. Now, the podcast has been submitted to Google Play and iTunes, so it will stand on its own as a separate podcast in that sense. And the feed, I'm thinking through the technicalities here, which I don't want to bore you with, but the thing is that the daily feed and the podcast, it's going to be available at the same time in both locations, whether it be the Mark and Mac Show or the Daily Perspective, whether it's on the website, the Facebook or Twitter or wherever, it's all going to the same place. And at such a time when Dave and I actually team back up again and we start doing a daily radio show, then that at that point, that will be added back into the mix, and both will be there. And Dave's solo show, if he has the availability to do that wherever he may be located, that will also be added to the mix. So it really will become the Mark and Mac Show, or the Mark and Mac Show.com channel, so that you have our daily 3 or 4 hour or 5 hour show, however long it ends up being, plus Dave's solo show, plus my solo show. So that's what it'll be throughout the day. And it'll start with the big show and then the two smaller shows, and it'll just rotate for 24 hours until the next show goes live. And at that point, we really will be doing the show live and then canning it for replay. I'll explain that at some point. But that's where we are right now. I'm working solo. Dave is working solo. We're looking for that right opportunity to make things come back together again. And it just hasn't presented itself yet. And it's been long enough that it just seems silly for me to keep doing a two-man show solo. And we'd always talked about me doing my own show, so why not just do that? But once again, nothing except the name of the show basically is going to change. Everything else will fairly much remain the same. I'll still have the same outlook on things. I'm still going to be doing this exactly the same way I was. And I've just decided, like I said, to change the wrapping paper. So I I spent some time looking at looking and listening to music and deciding how to put the pieces together, and there's still some little tweaks and nudges that need to happen, and I'm aware of that. I've just, honestly, I've been stymied on how to make something happen. And once I get that going, I'll make it happen. But nothing important is going to change. In fact, the website, if you want to go look at my website, the website for this show, it's just my name, markcongleton.com. I've had this website for a long, long time, and I just reskinned it in the last couple of weeks. And the website, this website, markcongleton.com, looks almost exactly like the Mark and Mac Show website, because, well, I just thought, hey, that's a good theme. It's a good template. Let's just use that. So everything there is essentially the same. So you can go look there if you want to. Now, as far as the contact, email, things like that, if you want to contact me directly, you will need to go to my website. Go to markcongleton.com and click the Contact Mark link. It's right there under the banner at the top of the page, and you can send me a message that way, or you can also send it through Facebook or Twitter, because it's all right there. So if you want to contact me, if you have questions or concerns or whatever, feel free to contact me. Just send me a private message on Facebook, and or a public. You can post it public if you want to on our Facebook page. Either way, the Mark and Mac Show or the Daily Perspective, either way, and I'll be glad to answer you. Okay? All right. I think that's probably all the housekeeping we need for now. I think so. But please feel free to let us know what you think about what's happening. The bigger plans are the bigger plans, and this is part and always has been part of the larger picture. It was just time to make it happen. Like I said, I just kind of felt silly doing a solo show. a two-guy show as a solo effort. It just felt weird. So it just seemed the best thing to move along. So we're moving along. Not killing anything in the process, just taking another step forward. Okay? Okay. And like I said, if you don't understand anything, please let me know. I'll be glad to explain it. Just let me know. You can always email me. You can email me. The best way, like I said, is really to go directly to markcongleton.com and click that contact link. That's the best way to do it. I could spit out an email address, which you would probably forget by the time you had to get someplace and email me. Just go to markcongleton.com, or go to the Daily Perspective on Facebook or Twitter. And you can also go to the Mark and Mac Show through those various links and get to me that way as well. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. All right, we got a couple of minutes before we hit the first bump here. So let's get into the news at hand. There's probably more detail about this now. I'm recording this around 8 a.m. Central Time, so by the time you hear this, it'll drop at 10. The more details will have come out, but a suspicious package addressed to Senator Cory Booker has been discovered in South Florida, according to reports. The FBI confirmed that the 11th package bears similarities to others sent to leading Democrat Party members and others. At this point, it's a developing story, and we'll have to see where it goes, because as of now, that's all the information we have. So right now, there are 11 of these packages that have been sent out. There are 11 of these packages with non-functional bombs, and I'm going to air quote bombs, because they're bogus, and I'll get into more detail on that in just a couple of minutes, but it's an interesting situation we're looking at here. And when I look at it, my little brain, after looking at all the pieces, comes up with a big bogus, because it just looks like it's a distraction to me. And early this morning, I posted on our social media, on all of our social media, on the Daily Perspective on Facebook and Twitter, as well as the Mark and Mac Show social media feeds, I posted a video by Paul Joseph Watson, who is what he has to say about it is pretty astounding. He puts it all into a pretty tight package, and I encourage you to go to our social media You can go to the Mark and Max Show Facebook page. That's a good place to go. Or go to the Daily Perspective page. And you can check it out there. The video is right there for you to watch. It's about 7 minutes long, or I'd play it for you here. But so many questions, so much inconsistency from the left. It helps to see it all compiled, to give it context. And Paul Joseph Watson does a good job of bringing it into focus. So go look at that on the Daily Perspective's Facebook page and the Mark and Max Show's Facebook page. Watch that video, and it'll help you kind of get it all in focus. All right? All righty then. More coming up after the break. You're listening to the first edition of The Daily Perspective from the studios of markandmaxshow.com. Listening to The Daily Perspective with me, handling hosting duties, Mark Congleton here. Good to have you along. Hope you're having a great day. I say that every day, but I do mean it. I hope you're having a great day. There's so much silliness in our lives today, we need to learn to laugh at it. I talked at length about this the other day. You can make it a great day as long as you have the right perspective. And having the right perspective is knowing the truth. As I said, I talked about this the other day. If you continue seeking truth, you'll learn it. And it will make you free, little by little, step by step. It's all about next steps. I made this observation on social media yesterday, and I want to pass it along to you. You parents know what this is like. You're trying to pick a place to grab a meal. You're on the run, out with the kids. One of them, because it's lunchtime, keeps hollering, "McDonald's! McDonald's! McDonald's!" So you pick whatever's handy, because McDonald's just isn't convenient. It just isn't convenient. And pretty much everybody's okay with that, except the one who keeps hollering, "McDonald's! McDonald's! McDonald's!" And this one happy kid keeps reminding you they wanted McDonald's. The whole meal, you're sitting in there trying to get your family situated and family fed. We could have McDonald's. I wanted a Big Mac. I wanted this. I wanted a Happy Meal. I wanted this. They don't like anything on the menu. They fuss about everything. They won't eat what you picked out for them. And then they whine about not getting McDonald's for the rest of the day. This is life today with Democrats. And you know it's true. That's what life is like today with Democrats. Ah, my goodness. Well, Megyn Kelly should have known better. She went to NBC, accepted a cushy job there. A cushy job, big, big paycheck. They stuck her in mid-morning with a late hour of the Today Show. And it was, honestly, I got to be honest with you, it was very out of character for Megyn Kelly. We got to know her as the highest ranked, outstripping even Bill O'Reilly at the time, the highest ranked evening news commentary show on television. And she was known for her approach, the way she handled the news stories. She was very matter of fact, didn't always agree with her, but she was good at what she did. And she had a lot more common sense than the commentators, the opinion anchors on the other news channels. So a lot of people gravitated to her. They liked to watch her show. They liked her take on things. Well, she began her job at NBC, and people had trouble with her right from the beginning. They didn't like her. She was a conservative in a leftist world, a conservative in the progressive paddock. It just didn't work. It never has been work. It's been rough the whole time. It's not been a good fit. Well, Megyn Kelly is officially OUT at NBC. Earlier this week, she made some comments about Halloween and makeup and costumes that really triggered a lot of people. Enough so that the network producers have broken her $69 million contract. This is according to a new report from the Daily Mail. During a discussion on cultural appropriation and Halloween costumes Tuesday, Kelly said it's okay to wear blackface when she was a kid. Even her own co-anchors condemned her, quote, ignorant and racist dialogue. Kelly apologized the following day, making a tearful statement about how she never meant to add to the cultural divisions in America. And here is how that went.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Megyn Kelly, and I want to begin with two words. I'm sorry. You may have heard that yesterday we had a discussion here about political correctness and Halloween costumes. And that conversation turned to whether it is ever okay for a person of one race to dress up as another. A black person making their face lighter or a white person making theirs darker to make a costume complete. I defended the idea, saying as long as it was respectful and part of a Halloween costume, it seemed okay. Well, I was wrong, and I am sorry. One of the great parts of sitting in this chair each day is getting to discuss different points of view. Sometimes I talk and sometimes I listen. And yesterday I learned. I learned that given the history of blackface being used in awful ways by racists in this country, it is not okay for that to be part of any costume, Halloween or otherwise. I have never been a PC kind of person, but I do understand the value in being sensitive to our history, particularly on race and ethnicity. This past year has been so painful for many people of color. The country feels so divided, and I have no wish to add to that pain and offense. I believe this is a time for more understanding, more love, more sensitivity, and honor. And I want to be part of that. Thank you for listening and for helping me listen too.
And that's how it went. She used the term blackface in context with the, by the way, she got a standing ovation. They were all very happy with what she did. It was not enough, not nearly enough, for the thought police at NBC to give her, to cut her some slack. It wasn't enough. As I was going to say in the context, I don't know that she used the term blackface in the discussion. They were talking about Halloween costumes, and they were talking about someone going as, let's say, a white chick going for Halloween as Diana Ross of Diana Ross and the Supremes. She was talking about her childhood days, back when she was a kid, possibly a teenager, going to a party as Diana Ross. You can imagine a group of girls going as Diana Ross and the Supremes. And in that context, not meaning any disrespect or wishing any hardship or any insult on anyone in Black America, and in truth, actually paying a tribute to a very famous group of people, at the same time being absurd, because they're obviously not. They're a bunch of white chicks dressed up as a black group. It's not intended in any way, shape, or form to be an insult. But in today's victim class society, what we have is a group of people who choose to think for everyone else, and they are insulted, deeply insulted, that anyone would even consider doing something so incredibly racially insensitive. This is where we are today. We have a group of people who have decided that victimization is everything. And if you're a victim, if you belong to a class of people who are victims, then anything and everything said by anyone and everyone not in your group about your group is insulting. Because you're a victim. So Megyn Kelly talks about, why is it a big deal to dress up and to look like somebody you were not for Halloween, including changing your skin tone to match the skin tone of the person you are dressed as. A rational, reasonable, honest person would understand that for what it is. Just an observation about a Halloween costume with no racial animus whatsoever. But we're not dealing with we're not dealing with reasonable, rational, honest people here. We're dealing with people who have a bone to pick with everyone who is not part of their club. If you're not part of their victim group, you're an outsider. If you're an outsider, you have no right to any opinion about who they are, what they believe, what they do, or what they say. And if you do cross that line in any way, shape, or form, they will punish you for it. Megyn Kelly is going to be just fine. She's going to come out of this probably with the entirety of her $69 million contract, minus legal fees. She's hired a new lawyer. She's going to be okay. Welcome back into the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. You know, I'm going to pirate the phone number since I set it up. 888-337-3139. That's the number to call if you'd like to comment on what you're listening to today. That's the voicemail line, the comment line, 888-337-3139. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you're thinking. Agree? Disagree? Something totally different? That's fine. Let me know. 888-337-3139. Okay? All right. Back to Megyn Kelly. I said she's going to be just fine. She is. There is also speculation she may be going back to Fox News. And that's fine. Just between you and me and Kimber the Wonder Dog here. If I were wearing her shoes, my feet would hurt really, really badly. But if I were in her position, I would take the $69 million or whatever I got out of it, buy the house of my dreams, and disappear. That's it. I would be taking cruises. I would be going on vacations. I would set up the retirement fund so that I could fund anything I wanted to do. I'm on with $69 million. Okay, let's say she gets half of that. She gets 35. Let's say she gets $35 million out of it. I think she'll be just fine. But if it were me, how about you? What, would you go back into the fray again? Would you get back on television and take the onslaught again? Would you do that? I don't know. I was thinking about this earlier this morning, and I understand that need. I understand that desire to be there, to communicate, to have that contact, I understand that. But, wow, it just comes to the point where do you keep going back into the ring and getting beat up? I mean, do you? She's proven she can win if the match isn't rigged. And when she went to NBC, the match was rigged. She had no chance of winning there. Not unless she completely surrendered herself and became a mind-numb leftist robot. There was no way she could win. Not and be honest and true to herself. She goes back to Fox News. She goes back as she goes back as someone who's gone somewhere else and failed. That's an interesting situation to be in. And will she be able to get, well, what she wants out of Fox News to get to for financially? I go back to square one. $69 million. She's going to be okay. And like I said, if it were me, buy the dream house, go on vacation. You know, write articles, start your own YouTube channel, which would end up getting pulled because YouTube is stinking leftist. But you know what I mean. There are other people who are doing it. Bill O'Reilly just couldn't stay away from the candle flame. He's back in social media. He's online now. He's doing his own little show, got his own little channel going. He's back once a week on the Glenn Beck program. He is back in the public eye. He's just not back where he used to be. But she's going to be fine. And she's done a good job of showing us exactly how far the left will go. She made an offhand comment about Halloween costumes. Nobody takes it seriously unless you're a victim, as I said before. If you are a professional victim, and trust me, the left, they have raised victimhood to a profession. If you're a professional victim, everything is wrong, and everybody is wrong, except for you. Hmm. Hey, speaking of being wrong, a name pops to mind when I think of being wrong. Joe Biden. Yeah, he was in Florida the other day. Bless his heart. They said he was the biggest name to come through their area since late July. That's what the Tampa Bay Times reported. And according to a recent CNN SSRS poll, he's the top Democratic choice for president in 2020. Vice President Joe Biden. The top. Wow. But when he was at the University of South Florida in Tampa, he didn't know where he was. He wrongly identified the city as Miami, and then, failing to recall Tampa, he just said, "Hey, Florida." He was there for a rally for Senator Bill Nelson and gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum. By the way, Gillum, socialist liar. He got caught on a sting. You won't hear much about that, but an FBI agent posing as a corrupt businessman got him tickets to Hamilton in Manhattan, in New York. He took something. He took a bribe, essentially. But, Biden's big opportunity to wow the crowd passed him by with his fumble of something as simple as the city's name. He already has a reputation for gaffes. Shown he doesn't always know what he's talking about. And who could forget? I mean, who could forget him jumping on former Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's deplorables bandwagon when she called supporters of President Donald Trump the dregs of society? With as quick-witted as Trump has proven to be, can you imagine the two of them in a debate? The president's already said he hopes he gets to run against Biden in 2020. Then a July interview with CBS News, Trump said, I dream about Biden. That's a dream. Look, Joe Biden ran 3 times. He never got more than 1%. And President Barack Obama took him out of the garbage heap, and everybody was shocked that he did. I'd love to have that be Biden. Even some of the people who like Biden don't think it would be a good idea for him to run against Trump. No. They're really trying to push Biden 2020 on us. And honestly, this is somebody on Twitter says, it's ticking me off. Instead of listening to us, the Democrats want to make the same mistakes expecting a different result. Hey, take what we give you or you're getting Trump again, is what they're saying. And that observation is absolutely correct. Well, we don't know yet if Biden is actually going to pursue the White House in 2020, but if he does, it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be very, very entertaining. Just trust me on that. Oh, God love him, Joe Biden. I mean, seriously, Joe Biden. I mean, this guy is constantly making mistakes. He's constantly screwing things up. He's constantly getting the names of towns wrong, the names of people wrong. Remember that classic gaffe where he told the guy in the wheelchair, "Hey, stand up and say hello to everybody." good old Joe Biden. You know, I said for a long time, and I still stand by this, that that the Obama administration kept Joe Biden behind closed doors for almost the entire two terms he was in office. Because every time he went out, he embarrassed them in some way. Every time. Now look at what's happening today, currently, with Mike Pence. You see in the news, well, not in the leftist progressive news, you don't see it, but you see reports, if you're paying attention, doing what I've told you for a while to do, and that is to go online and actually search things out and find things out for yourself. You've seen the reports about Mike Pence being everywhere. This military base, that military base, this nation, that nation. He's out everywhere, meeting people, talking to people, representing the United States. Go look back at Joe Biden's record and see when you saw that happening with him. They kept that guy under wraps. For 8 years, they kept him hidden. With very, very good reason. The guy was a loose cannon. You never knew what he was going to say or what he was going to do. And then there's the pictures of him and the way he would touch women whenever they were around for an official event of some kind. And the way he would handle children. You remember the video of Jeff Sessions walking over and taking his granddaughter and moving her away from Joe Biden? Joe Biden in 2020. I think President Trump is right. He is the dream opponent. Oh, my. The dream. I'll tell you somebody who's not dreaming. The guy in California. I don't know about you, but spiders wig me out. I'm not a big, when it comes to insects in the home, I'm pretty handy with, get the spray, get the newspaper, whatever. And if you live in the woods like I do, you're fighting them all the time. It doesn't matter what you do. They're going to get in the house. They're eventually going to die because of the pest control, but they're still getting in. And if you live in the woods, well, you're on their turf. But firefighters in California are issuing a warning to people who are scared of spiders. If you're going to kill them, don't do it with fire. You see, there was this guy that used a blowtorch to take out spiders in his home. Tuesday, about 11 p.m., the Fresno Fire Department responded to a fire at a home in northeast Fresno. The fire was lit by a guy who was house-sitting at his parents' place. The fire department says he found black widow spiders. That's enough to freak me out. I can take anything except the spiders. Don't like the spiders. What did he use to kill him? Blowtorch. He used a blowtorch. God love him. The blaze damaged the second floor, the attic. 29 firefighters were ultimately able to extinguish the flames. The fire department pleaded on Facebook, please, please don't use a blowtorch to kill spiders. I get it. I understand. Just don't use a blowtorch, please. Oh my gosh. More to come. This is the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here with the Daily Perspective. Oh, man. You heard me mention the Kimber the Wonder Dogger a few moments ago. Here in the MarkandMacShow.com studio, a regular fixture is Kimber the Wonder Dog. Better, actually, I probably should refer to her by her title, and that is the Right Reverend Kimber Shaggy Feet. She is an ordained minister. But the... I was talking through that last segment, I kept hearing a noise in the background, and it started getting me distracted. It turned out it was the dog snoring. Well, that's just not very complimentary at all. Well, We're living in weird, weird times, my friend. Very weird times. We have bombs or not bombs or hoax bombs or pipes with digital clocks on them or whatever showing up in various places. And what have we got, 11 of them so far? One of them turned out to be a hoax, an absolute hoax. The call was a hoax. Let's see if I can pull this up here. It was an unidentified device, and I talked about this yesterday, that was sent to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's office. An hour after he announced on live TV that a device mailed to his Manhattan office was being handled by police, the police declared his office was safe, not because they'd removed the device and secured the facility, but because the package was a letter with a USB flash drive in it. On Twitter, they said the earlier suspicious package at Governor Cuomo's office in Midtown has been cleared by the New York the Police Department personnel. It was unrelated, and there was no evidence of any kind, no device of any kind. Well, it was a device. It was a flash drive. That's what the NYPD spokesperson, J. Peter Donald, said on Twitter. Cuomo, he's a Democrat, spoke about the package on TV while at a press conference about the bombs, mailed to CNN and national figures, including Bill and Hillary Clinton. Quote, a device has been sent to my office in Manhattan, which we were just informed about, and that device has been identified as and is being handled as we speak. That's what he said. NYPD declared the package harmless within an hour. They say a preliminary investigation on the package at Governor Cuomo's office shows it is its computer files about the hate group, the Proud Boys, who recently appeared in New York. You know, all four of them. There's just not that many of those guys. Cuomo's spokesman, Richard Azzopardi, said, according to the Democrat and the Chronicle, Cuomo's announcement came days after an explosive device was mailed to the home of billionaire George Soros on Monday. Quote, potential explosive devices, end quote, were sent to addresses for the Clintons, Barack Obama, the CNN building in New York City, Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office. 11 so far in total. 11. And this one was a flash drive. So were they just anxious to bring focus on themselves? I think so. Well, there's a former Navy Explosive Ordnance Disposal officer, an EOD officer, a guy named Tom Sauer. He wrote a viral Twitter thread concerning the potentially explosive packages addressed to prominent Democrats Wednesday. According to Sauer, it's extremely likely that the packages were meant to be intercepted and cause political damage as opposed to actual attempts to harm targets. Sauer, whose identity has been verified to the Daily Wire, where this is coming from, he used his expertise to analyze an image of a package addressed to former CIA Director John Brennan, which was first obtained by CNN. By the way, that picture, the CNN picture, so they get the thing in the office, they open it up, it's clearly, to whoever, if it were you or I, we would open it, see the pipe, see the wires, see the timer on the outside, and the first thought you'd have is, oh dear God, we're all going to die. So what do? You put it down gently, you tell everybody, bomb, 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 you clear the office, call the cops. What did they do? They put it on a desk and took a picture of it. What? That's what they did. Anyway, this former bomb disposal officer emphasized that he only spoke on behalf of himself, says the makeup of the device appears to indicate that it was intended to be intercepted. They meant for it. Quote, it's highly, highly unlikely that this was a genuine attempt. This is like holding up a bank with a toy gun. In that viral thread, Sauer made note of some of the red flags that support his assessment. He says, a few observations from a former bomb disposal officer, that would be me. Proper pipe bombs don't have wires connected to both ends. That's dumb. He also noted that the size and setup of the device struck him as odd. He said, you can find timers, remote control receivers way smaller than whatever that white box is. A proper timer would be best stored inside the pipe, making it fully encapsulated. That thing is just silly looking, he says. Whoever made that wanted it to be painfully obvious to anyone and everyone that it's a bomb. This is clearly the same as a bundle of road flares wrapped together with an old-timey alarm clock ticking away. So you see, he's saying that what's happening here is that someone intentionally wanted these to fool people. Whoever did this wanted people to firmly believe, because of everything they've seen in the movies on television, that this was a pipe bomb. But in the real world, that's not what pipe bombs look like. Now, when he was asked about the parody ISIS flag sticker reportedly identified on the package, Sauer said, "This seems to be yet another signal that the package was meant to be intercepted to, quote, scare the hell out of people, end quote, and not actually cause damage." He said, "That's going to get flagged right away." "It reeks of amateur hour," he said. "Shards of glass." There were reports. He said there are new reports of shards of glass and sulfur being identified within the device. He said glass is fairly light. Typically, you'd find metal or rocks, as the device would be heavier and thus more damaging. Glass is no picnic, though. "I'd be very surprised, and I could be wrong, but because I do not have the same information as the feds, that there are any actual explosives in them." He said sulfur on its own might burn a little, but it's not truly an explosive unless it's mixed with an oxidizer like potassium nitrate or potassium chlorate. And hoax devices, as these appear to be, are far more common than real attempts. That's what he explains in his thread. He says, in which case, we should ask ourselves what the motives of the bomber are and who benefits. Go ahead. Think deeply and critically. And I'll stop there. The rest of the article, it's in the show notes today. Show notes are available online. Just go look at them. Who benefits is the question at hand here. Who benefits? It's really outside, way outside the conservative / Republican playbook to do something like this. Way outside. It just doesn't happen. But it is well within the realm of the leftist playbook. After all, our former president, Barack Hussein Obama, launched his political career in the living room of a domestic terrorist, Bill Ayers, someone who attacked police departments and the Pentagon using bombs. So this kind of an effort makes perfect sense as a tactic of the left. It doesn't make sense as a tactic from the right. I mean, why do you want to distract from the success of the Supreme Court nomination of Brett Kavanaugh? Why do you want to distract from the success of the economy? Why do you want to distract from job success for minorities? Why do you want to distract from taking a firm stand against this caravan of invaders coming to our border? Why do you want to distract from all of that if you're on the right? It makes no sense. No sense at all. However, if you're on the left and your efforts to demonize and undermine the successes of the current administration are not working, you really, really do want to distract people. That's something to keep in mind today. Something to ponder as you go through your Friday. Who really would benefit from sending a bunch of fake bombs to people? And who would eat up the attention, considering they're riding the wave of victim classes to success politically? Just think about it. And that's all you need to do. Just put the pieces together honestly, rationally, realistically, and logically. And I think you'll come to the same conclusion. It doesn't benefit the right to do this. That's it for today. This is The Daily Perspective.